Husband, be the man. Be the man. Now, you know, we don't really care about being politically correct here, do we? Let's be biblically correct, because we're going to answer to God, and He's much greater than anyone else we can answer to. And so that's where we want to look at it, as husband, be the man. Years ago, there was commercials and stuff done about that. You the man. No, you the man. Well, be the man that God has designed. If we do manly things today, we get accused of toxic masculinity. The term has bothered me, because the problem is not toxic masculinity. The problem is not enough masculinity. Understanding what a real man is. You know, we're not supposed to teach our kids to be manly and do things that are boys should do. We're not supposed to teach kids to shoot guns, hunt, and wrestle. Not supposed to be men's clothes versus ladies' clothes. Not supposed to have men's leagues or women's leagues. And what have we done with this mentality? We've gained a whole lot of men that will not work. No consistent jobs. If the women support them, hop from job to job, do quote-unquote odd jobs, just enough to support their video game habits. That's what it's caused. We've caused men to have no discipline, don't care how their actions affect others, are rude, not only in their actions, but in their language. We have men that will not be daddies. Yeah, they're willing to make the baby, but not care for them. Trust me, I moved here from the inner city. That's what we dealt with. We have a bunch of fatherless homes who don't have examples of being men. Why is crime rate going up? Why is unemployment going up? Today we have men that are confused, not understanding the value that God placed in them by making them a man. So they pretend to be a woman to gather attention. Or needing the attention of another man. Women, you should be upset and outraged that men think that they can be called women without going through everything that women have to go through. Yeah? Okay. God created both with a high value and a great purpose. We've looked at that over the last many weeks. This is not a birth thing. This is a sin thing. We all have desire of some sort that is an ungodly desire, but it is sinful. Emotions don't make actions right. You with me? If I'm born with a violent attitude, I don't have the right to kill you, do I? You see, sin is sin no matter what your emotions tell you. Where you are guarded, guided. All this comes because man has abandoned God's purpose for him. We've been looking at the series Family with Purpose. To know that purpose, we've got to look at what the Creator has made this institution for. And we've seen the beauty in which He created marriage. He brought His creation together and said that no one should tear it apart, didn't He? God said that when He walked her down the aisle to her husband. God even gave purpose to marriage, a unity that represents His relationship with us. A godly marriage presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw that last week. So we're going to start breaking down the different parts of family today. And we're going to start with husbands, then wife, and parents, and children. See, for years, churches have preached to wives, haven't they? Submit, woman. Anybody heard that growing up? Submit, woman. And if she didn't, she was a horrible and wicked person. And yet, ignoring the hateful, mean, abusive, or absent father, husband, or man. However, man was created first, so we're going to start with man today, amen? Open up to Ephesians chapter 5, if you're there already. And Ephesians chapter 5, we've been looking at Genesis 2, as where God created the institution of marriage, after he created man and brought her and him together, after he took a rib from man and brought them back together in unity for his glory. But in Ephesians chapter 5, he uses Paul to really pin some heavy words here to speak to husband and wife. And we're going to start with the husband's portion. In Ephesians 5, go down to verse 25. And he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the blood, water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us and being right here with us, allowing us to approach your throne in prayer. And Lord, be reconciled to you by the blood of your son, Jesus. Lord, I ask that each one of us in here would have a soft heart today, ready to be challenged by your word, guided by your spirit, Lord, cleansed by your word. And Lord, that you would do a work in each one of our homes, that our desire would, that our marriage would honor you, that we'd fulfill the purpose for our marriage. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. You see here that man's to love his wife, and Christ loved the church. Again, we don't see in here, husband, stick with her as long as she makes you happy. We don't see in here that, oh, she better be the greatest sliced bread. He just simply, husband, love her. Love her in a comparison to how Christ loved. So 2 points we're going to look at today is, what is love? And what should this love accomplish? First point is, man, love your wife. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? Love your wife. Love her. And when it comes to love, we often get the ushy-gushy feeling. Oh, got to get the butterflies, right? Got to get the goosebumps. Anybody with me? Those are enjoyable. Those come every once in a while. Are they there all the time? Love anyway. You know, it's either ushy-gushy or sometimes we tie it into some of our emotions. But often love gets sexualized, which is not the subject we're looking at today. We'll look at that another day. Some are saying amen. Some are saying, oh no, not again. But it's very important that we get it biblically. But the love he's calling a man for might include sex, because you are married. But it's not what he's speaking to for man. You can't deny that today's text that we read calls a man to love his wife. He even tells us how in verse 25, the second half of it. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, our example of being a loving husband is not Tom Cruise, Will Smith, Donald Trump, or even Joe Biden. He didn't use any of those people for the way we see love. The only example of a good, loving, godly husband is Jesus Christ himself. Men, you want to be a godly husband, a good husband. Follow the example of Jesus. You will never be a good leader in your home if you're not first following the leader, Jesus Christ. Get that straight. You will never be the great husband that you need to be at home if you aren't following Jesus first. And so you got to get that part first, is understanding Jesus Christ is my example. And he even calls the church his bride, and he showed his bride how much he loved her. He didn't just say it. He stretched out his hands, didn't he? And was pinned to a cross, shedding his blood. When Jesus died for the church wasn't pretty, sweet, or loving. The church wasn't submissive and obedient. The church was a bunch of disobedient, sinful rebels. Kind of like us. No amens on that one, huh? Isn't that what we are? Disobedient, sinful rebels that just want to draw nigh unto God a little bit more every day. That sometimes the flesh gets a hold of and we have to shake it off. But Jesus loved the church anyway. Jesus died for the church. That would be those, the believers, those that place faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus did his part no matter what they did. Why? Because he chose to love her. You with me? Jesus chose to love his bride. It's an important fact that we need to get a hold of in our own marriage. Jesus chose to love his bride. It's the same with your wife. You cannot base your love for her on her sweetness, on her hotness, or on her submission to you. You with me? Don't base your love for your spouse on what she does for you. She may not always be lovable or loving. I'm glad no man said amen there. But we know it, and most of the wives in here would admit it. They're not very lovable sometimes. Amen, wives? Because us husbands ain't going to say it. But husband, that don't matter. You're not called to love her in lovable moments. Called to love her at all times. Jesus loved the church when? She was still a sinner. He died for her. Your love cannot be emotions-based. If your love is emotions-based, you're romantic at noon and it's a good day, and by 6 p.m., there's fighting going on. Not that any of us have ever experienced a day like that, but you know it. That when our lives are emotions-based, things change quickly. So our love cannot be emotions-based. You place value on her because you love her, not because she is lovable. You love her because God gave her to you. And guess what? You said, I do. God didn't give room to you later to say, I don't know, Mo. Yeah? You said, I do. So now that you said, I do, let's do our part. Let's love her. Now love her because you are now one flesh with her. Remember we talked about this already in a division of that marriage that God created. It hurts. Why? Because he created an institution that is not to be ripped apart. So when it is ripped apart, there is much destruction. There is much pain. There is much hurt. This comes from a boy that watched his parents get divorced when I was 15 years old. It hurts. And the pain doesn't end a couple weeks later, a couple months later. My mama still struggles with it. Because my mama loves the Lord. You're one flesh. This passage even tells us how to love. Gives us a definition of love. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. There's two words you need to catch here. But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Love like you do your own body. Now, you may not work out, and that's okay. I'm not judging. Trust me, I'm not judging. Okay? You may not eat healthy. You may not seem to care. But if somebody walks up to punch you in the face, you're going to do what? You're going to duck, or you're going to block, and you may just even strike back. Am I wrong? No. You're going to do your best to protect yourself and to keep from damaging your body because you don't want to hurt, because it hurts to get punched. You're going to protect yourself. That's the type of love that we are told to share to our wives. God says, love like you do your own body. God names the two ways that he breaks down here to love for us, Christ did. In verse 29, he uses two words, nourish and cherish. I want to break these two words down quickly. The word nourish means to bring to maturity. To bring to maturity. It means to provide her needs, to feed or strengthen her. In other words, I love you means I will provide for you. Husbands, we are supposed to be the providers. Now, it goes further. Oh, I got the money in that. No, that's not all of it. Didn't Jesus exemplify nourishing his church? Christ, who is God in the flesh, provided us with his word so we could know him, provided us with spirit so we can be guided and comforted. He provided promises so that we can have hope, and he always keeps his word, yeah? Now, husband, provide for her, and sometimes this means sacrifice. We got a couple examples of sacrifice, don't we? Adam gave up his rib. Then when he saw Eve, he was like, woo! Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, he shall be called woman. He's excited. But they're talking about Jesus now. Did he sacrifice for his bride? In the greatest way you could ever imagine. Sacrifice hurts. Sacrifice costs us something. But let me ask you, is your wife worth a sacrifice? Is your wife worth giving something up for? Is your wife worth you going through some pain and some hurt? Yes, she is. She's the gift of God to you. So in other words, husbands, provide for her, even if it costs sacrifice. Provide physically. Realize, when Eve was before she was ever given to Adam, he already had a what? Good old J-O-B. He had a job already given to him. God had already told him to tend the garden. Name the animals. Now he made her just to help him. She's his helpmeet. Understand, she's not his caretaker. She's not his slave. Women, that's where you're supposed to say amen. Amen. Yeah, okay. She's all into it, Pentecostal now. She's like, woo, amen. Husbands, they're not our slave or our caretaker. They're our helpmeet. In other words, we need to get busy at the work God has given to us, and she's going to assist us. She's going to encourage us. She's going to help us. We see through Scripture that man was to provide, but this is not the only way. We're supposed to provide emotionally. Husband, you need to be the shoulder she can come to cry on when she's struggling. Oh, man, I'm just not the emotional type. Most of us guys say that. I don't get emotional, man. Get emotional if somebody comes and scratches your car. Right? You'd be like, who did that? Don't say you ain't emotional, because I've seen people when there's football game on. I see myself. And my quarterback falls back and throws that ball and the wrong team catches it, you know what? I get emotional. So don't say you ain't emotional, husbands. You're just more emotional about other things than you are your wife at times. I'm sweating up here. Here's it, don't have a bunch of men mad at me. Men, we need to be at a place you can cry. She can hurt. Because she feels safe in our arms. But we can also be the first person she wants to come celebrate with. She wants to give good news with. And guess what, husband? If it's not a big deal to you and it is to her, suddenly it's a big deal to you too. Why? Because if your wife has something to celebrate, you do too. You're one flesh. Because if mama happy, you can be happy too. Our desire to see our wife content and excited and happy. Do you know that when women commit adultery, it's normally not a sexual thing for them. But it's because somebody cared and listened to her because the husband wouldn't. The adultery doesn't start in bed. We see that in the book of 2 Samuel where David, most famous part of King David was his adultery. It didn't start in bed. It started when he went to the rooftop and he said, whoa, instead of walking away. Understand, women are seeking somebody that will console them and love on them. Remember we talked about the emotions last week. Adultery don't start in bed. It starts in the heart. Even Jesus said that. It's an emotional investment in a place that should not be invested. When there's something deep and emotional, God gave you a spouse to go to when you're married. So provide for physically, emotionally, but also provide relationally. Our wives need relationships from us. They need our loving companionship. They need someone to hang out with. They need someone to play games with. They need someone to joke with. Someone to laugh at our dumb jokes. Because I'm going to repeat them at the pulpit. I don't test them on her at home because then I'd be scared to use them here because most of my jokes, she's like, oh, that was dumb. But she says it in a really sweet way. Provide for her relationally. She needs time with you, but understand, she also needs time with other godly ladies. She needs to have those ladies that she can go and giggle with. The ladies' circle on Wednesday, they're meeting at noon for an awesome fellowship for a luncheon. Send your wife. They're going to laugh. They're going to giggle. That stuff that you and I don't understand why we're laughing. She's laughing. I better laugh, but I have no clue what that meant. Husband's ever been there? Send her on Wednesday. She can giggle. They're laughing nonstop. Reva, you going to be here? They're going to laugh. They're going to laugh. Probably at me, but I won't be there. So they need to be with godly ladies so they can do girl stuff. Whatever girls do, us men don't want to know. But you know what else you need to provide for? Provide spiritually. Men, provide spiritually. You hear me? Provides. Too many homes are dependent on the wife being a spiritual leader. How many times I've had men saying, oh, I don't have time to read, so my wife tells me what she read. No! Husband, if anybody's going to regurgitate God's word on you, it should be the husband unto the wife, because he's supposed to lead, he's supposed to teach, he's supposed to love, he's supposed to provide. Lead her in a closer walk with the Savior. And we're going to see the importance of you leading her in this walk in just a little bit. But don't send her, you lead her. Don't lead her, I'm sorry, don't send her to prayer. You go pray with her, for her, and with her. Lead her in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word together. Lead her in church. You're here today. Well done. But keep it up. Encourage her that she wants to be in church. Encourage her that she wants to sit next to you in church. Encourage her that she loves the Lord. Lead her in a holy walk in decisions made in life. We as husbands are to provide as Christ provided for his church. So when we say I love you, it means I'm going to provide for you. But also, remember there was that second word, cherish. Nourish and cherish. Cherish means to place value on. To make it special or to guard it. Well, whatever we value, we automatically protect. With me? Men, we know when our someone touches our back pocket, don't we? That, you know, the wallet pocket. Someone touches that, you all of a sudden, and you turn around because you're going to defend it. There's important stuff in there like credit cards and IDs, and some of y'all might have, what's that green stuff, cash or something? Might be in there. And we protect it. We don't want it to be, we don't leave it sitting around on pews. We don't leave our car window open sitting on a seat. If you value it, you protect it. We're to protect our wives in a higher way than this. We protect as Christ protected the church. Jesus went to all extremes to protect her, didn't he? You with me? Jesus went to all extremes to make sure his wife is protected, his bride is protected. He shed his blood, gave his life for her to make sure she was safe. Safe from what? Safe from the wrath of God upon sin. He washed away her sins. And according to Romans 5:9, Jesus' blood protects his church from God's wrath. And according to Psalms 119:11, God's word protects her from sin. See, if we submit to God's word, remain holy, God has provided protection with his own life. Husbands, we're to protect our wives as Christ protected the church. We're to pay that cost, if needed, of sacrifice. What does that do? When we'll pay the price of sacrifice, you with me? We're placing her at a higher value than ourselves. You know what that does for a woman when she sees that you value her above your own needs, above your own wants, above your own feelings? You have elevated her to a higher level. How do you think she's going to feel about you now? That changes a whole lot of things, won't it? Protect her physically. Take the bullet for her as Christ took the nail. Amen? Most of us say we will. So let's make sure we do. We protect her physically, but also protect her emotionally. This can be hard. Because some have very soft emotions. But we try to protect. I was trying to say very nicely. I heard somebody chuckle and I couldn't hold it no more. It can be hard sometimes. But you know, if she is validated by you, her husband, she knows that she can come to you for comfort. Others can't hurt her as deeply because you're her comfort zone, not them. You be her refuge, her strong place. Protect her emotionally. In other words, you and I cannot be the ones that hurt her. You can't be the one damaging her, tearing her down, because our job is to be the one to protect her. Also protect her relationally. Remember that you and her have in common is that you are one flesh. You're inseparable. She's left her parents. Catch that. You with me? She has done. I need to turn the AC on because it's getting hot in here. She left her comfort zone, her mama and daddy. She left the ones that raised her, loved her, provided for her, protected her, and came under your umbrella of protection and provision. Let her know that you ain't going nowhere. We committed. I shared with her before. I heard it from someone else, and I repeated it to my wife. If she leaves me, I'm going with her. She tried, so I came to Hummiston too. Let your wife know you love her so deeply, you ain't going nowhere. You and her are connected. And that whatever you have to go through, you're going to go through together, and you're going to grow through it. And that God's going to bless through it. Protect her relationally. Protect her spiritually. Keep her holy. Be careful what you bring into her life. Protect her. Support her love for God's word. You with me? I don't want to go to church today. Don't quench her spirit and her excitement for what God calls us to. Pray with her. Go to church with her. Support her. And you can both grow through it. By doing those things, she's going to become a better mom and a better wife to you, because she's growing in the Lord. And you and I can only gain from that as we grow. If we husbands will do these things, grow in our ability to nourish and to cherish, to provide and to protect, then we can say, I love you. And remember that what we're saying is, I'm going to provide and protect for you. Why is loving our wives correctly so important? It's because of what we're trying to do. What is Jesus doing for the church? Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might, that it should be holy and without blemish. What is Christ doing to the church? Husband, that's what you're supposed to be doing for your wife. Second point is, man, keep her holy. This is a very short point. It's pretty straight to the point. Just as Jesus sanctified the church, that means to separate her for himself. When you accept Christ, you with me, and you call upon his name, and are born as a child of God, he said he sanctifies you. He separates you for his work, for himself. His focus is upon you. His love is shed upon you. So husbands, what a picture it is for us. Jesus says he cleanses her. What does that mean? He washed away her sins. He helped her grow out as she repented of her sins. It says, and he's building her up to be holy. He's strengthening her. That's what we as husbands are to do, is to build our wives in their holiness. Men, did you catch that? It's quiet out there. Let's start from the beginning. You know? Men, that's our job. Build our wives to be holy. Why the loving of her matters. That's why protecting and provide for her matters. We're building her holiness. We're making sure we don't bring sinful pollution into her life. We don't bring a temptation, a sin into her life. We watch our mouth around her, because God should be changing our life and changing what comes out of our mouth as well. Our mouth should not be to tear her down, but to edify or to build up, to strengthen her. I was just going to read it, but go back to Ephesians chapter 4, since you're right there anyway. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the who? The hearer. Your words should build up and encourage anyone that hears them. And guess what? Our wives are the first one to hear our words. It says, don't let your words be hurtful and destructive. And the verse uses the word corrupt. Make sure that your words are going to build up. They're going to give grace. That means to show kindness, even when we don't want to. Even when we feel she don't deserve it, let us build her up. Let's show her grace and kindness. Be her place of strength and comfort. Why? With our words matter. And we could bring corruption in her mouth by belittling, by cussing it, by trashing, and we'll be doing the complete opposite of what we as husbands are called to do. Build up. Be her place of strength and comfort, just as God gave us the Comforter, which is called the Holy Spirit. Isn't it awesome that God loves us so much that He made sure we have a consistent comforter? The Holy Spirit? I want my wife to know she can come to me at any time to be comforted. There's the picture. That I'm the first place she comes to, not mom or dad, not the girlfriends, but to me. When she hurts, she knows my shoulder is available for her. When she celebrates together, we'll be doing a happy dance. And you don't want to see it. But I want to be the one she comes to, and I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to protect her with my life as you protect your wife with yours. Why? Because she's a valuable gift from God. And I'm responsible to build her up, to strengthen her, to provide for her. Next time you say, I love you, to one another, remember what I love you means. It doesn't mean I get emotional or goosebumpy for you. Doesn't mean I got the butterflies. It means that I am promising to you that I'm going to do all I can to provide for your needs and to protect you. What you're doing by saying I love you is sharing how much you value her above your own life. Amen. Would you stand with me? Next week we're going to look at the wife. Husbands, bring your wife to church. She's special. She's a gift from God. But she's a huge responsibility for us. A hard one sometimes to know how to take care of. But God has empowered us too. In today's world, it makes caring for her even harder. It's our responsibility. Men, her job is even harder if we don't do our job. That's what we're going to look at last week. And as you leave, men, guard your words. Build her, protect her. Maybe some of us need to go home and say, I'm sorry, dear. Humble yourself. That's hard, ain't it, man? We're like, sorry, what does that mean? Sorry, what, are you stupid? I'm just saying, no, some of us need to humble ourselves before. How do we become the bride of Christ? Accept Christ, we humble ourselves before Him. Man, we need to be that picture of humility and come to her and say, you know what, I've messed up for you. I've not been the man I'm supposed to be. Please forgive me. And so I challenge you. You let the Spirit of God work in you and guide you. Don't talk to her based on your emotions or what she's done, but based on what God has called you to do. Provide and protect. And understand this. You're never going to be the man unless you first are following Jesus Christ. So let's sing this song together as we are all familiar, I'm sure.